Hey everybody, it's Pastor Brian Ross from Grace Life Bible Church in Grand Rapids, Michigan. We want to welcome you once again to this midweek video. We appreciate you tuning in as always. What we want to talk about in this video is once again another example of the issue covered in our book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word. And again, this is a co-authored book between myself and Brother Dave Reed of Columbus Bible Church in Columbus, Ohio. And we've also created a playlist here for you that covers a lot of different topics and some questions that we received over the last year, roughly, even though the book was released in April of 2024. And so if you haven't checked this book out yet, you can pick up a copy of it. I'll leave a link in the description for the video, as well as a link to the playlist here if you're interested in getting this material. What I want to talk about in this video is 2 Samuel 4:4 as a clear example of editorial change. I believe this is a very clear example of editorial change, and we're going to look at that here a little bit in this particular video. Now, just as we did last time, we framed up the last video that I did in this series by looking at some things about David Reagan. So David Reagan authored a piece called The King James Version of 1611, The Myth of Early Revision, and this is often cited as a definitive or authoritative source when discussing the topic of variations in the printed history of the King James text. Many pro-King James authors, pastors, preachers, etc. will appeal to Reagan as an authority, okay? So according to Reagan, the only difference is between the editions of the King James Version, and you need to note that I'm using a PDF version of this, so the page numbers correspond to the PDF version that I have linked to here. But they say that the only differences in the King James Bible, this is what Reagan says, are number one, typeface. So that would be black lettered in Roman font. We talked about that in the last video. The formation of the letters, you know, having a V look distinctly like a V as we would identify a V today versus a U would be an example of letter formation. Spelling and punctuation and the correction of printer errors. Okay. Now, after discussing these categories of differences, Reagan concluded this section of his essay by stating the following. He says, quote, "The character of the textual changes is that of obvious errors. The frequency of the textual changes is sparse, occurring only once per three chapters. The chronology of the text changes is early, with about three-fourths of them occurring within 27 years of the first printing. All of these details establish the fact that there were no true revisions in the sense of updating the language or correcting translation errors." So he says there are no true revisions in the sense of updating language, okay, or making any language changes to the King James Bible. "There were only additions which corrected early typographical errors. Our source of authority, notice, for the exact wording of the 1611 authorized version is not in its existing copies, not in the existing copies of the first printing. Our source of authority for the exact wording of our English Bible is the preserving power of Almighty God. Just as God did not leave us the original autographs to fight and squabble over, he did not see fit to leave us proof, a proof copy of the translation. Our authority is in the hand of God as always. You can praise the Lord for that." Now, let me just identify a couple points of agreement and disagreement that I have with Reagan here, okay? First of all, I agree with Dr. Reagan that the King James translators made no, quote, translation errors or mistakes in terms of representing the text in English. I believe they accurately captured everything that they were translating into the English language, and it communicates to the English reader exactly what the English reader needs to know in order to be saved and edified in sound doctrine, okay? And you can see the doctrinal statement of Grace Life Bible Church and the What We Believe section of The Myth of Verbatim Identicality for more on that. Now, what I question, though, is the veracity of the statement that there are no true revisions in the sense of updating of language. So the purpose of this video is to investigate the veracity of Reagan's conclusion by looking at the printed history of 2 Samuel 4:4 as a case study. Now, this is just one of many now that are going to be added to the playlist here where we talk about different issues. So we've talked about he and she. We've talked about and or. I did one on the weight of in number 731. I did a follow-up on that as well. I did one on for so much and for as much and whether those are verbally equivalent. We've talked about Dr. Ruckman. And then last week I did one on hands, and hand in Acts 7:8. So when we look at 2 Samuel 4 here, we're looking at just another example of many that we could point to in this discussion. Okay, so by extension, our investigation will touch upon the claim that God gave the King James translators between 1604 and 1611 the exact words in English that he wanted written down. So there's a claim out there that the translators were inspired in the sense that God gave them the exact words that he wanted written down. And we want to test that claim now against the historical evidence, okay? And that's part of what we want to do in this particular video. Now, our example here is going to begin with a screenshot from the 1602 bishop's text. And the reason for that is rule number one. Rule number one, given to the King James translators, is quoted right here. The ordinary Bible read in the church, commonly called the bishop's Bible, to be followed, and as little altered as the truth of the original will permit. Let me just say before I go any further, the evidence is very clear that they followed rule number one. I talk about that in my From This Generation Forever class. There are tons of examples and data that we went through in that class to prove that. I will leave also a link in the description for this video for the playlist on the influence of the Bishop's Bible on the King James Bible. But let's get to our example. 2 Samuel 4:4, here we have the 1602 bishops, and we're looking at this underlying phrase here in question, okay? So Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet and was 5 years old, okay? So we're talking about this part right here, okay? Was lame on his feet and was 5 years old. So notice what the King James translators do here in 1611, okay? So look at this. They add a comma here after Jonathan, all right? Saul's son is the same. Had a son that was lame. Had a son that was lame is the same. Now, notice this says on his feet. The King James translators change that to of his feet, okay? So there's a change with the comma here. This clause is largely the same. On his feet is changed to of his feet. But then notice this part here. Of his feet and was 5 years old. Okay, 1611. Of his feet and was 5 years old. Now they do also add the and as italics here. Okay, but notice of his feet, comma, and was 5 years old. Okay, his feet, comma, and was 5 years old. So they do not change. The King James translators between 1604 and 1611 make changes to 2 Samuel 4:4. In the clause that we're looking at. We're not looking at the whole verse. They add the comma after Jonathan, all right? They change on his feet to of his feet, and they take the and here, the and here, and they put it in italics here, okay? So that's what? 1, 2, 3 changes, but notice that this part right here is essentially the same. His feet, comma, and was 5 years old, all right? Now, let's move on to 1629. 1629, here we have the Cambridge Folio Edition from 1629, H424, and notice there's some changes that are made here. A comma is added after son. That was not in, it was in the 1611, my mistake. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet and was 5 years old. So notice that the 1629 Cambridge editors do not change anything in the underlying clause from the 1611. So let's go back to the 1611. His feet, of his feet, and was 5 years old. And then we have the 1629 Cambridge, of his feet, and was 5 years old, with a comma in both verse in both spots after feet. So there is no change made to the clause in question in 1629 by the Cambridge editors. Then we can move to the 1638 Cambridge Folio, H520 in Herbert's catalog, and notice what it says, okay? And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet, comma, and was 5 years old. So notice that the 1638 Cambridge reads exactly the same as the 1629, reads exactly the same as the 1611 in this particular clause. Now, why we need to note this is, there is extant evidence in the writings of William Kilburn, his piece, Dangerous Errors, from circa 1660, where he talks about how Samuel Ward and John Boyce, two of the original King James translators, assisted Cambridge in the 1638. Okay, now that argument is used many times by other pro-King James authors and pastors and writers and speakers to say that, therefore, any changes that are made in the Cambridge, some even include 1629 in this, even though there's no extant evidence of them, translators, working on that. I'm open to being persuaded that there was, if evidence can be furnished to justify that claim, but as of now, there isn't any that I'm aware of. So the argument goes that they approved of the changes that are made by 1638 because they were sort of still alive to speak for their work. But as you move further into time, past 1638, obviously you're going to reach a point where the translators are dead, all of them are dead, and they are no longer able to speak for their work. Okay, so let's move now from 1638 to an interesting 1677 London quarto, H736 in Herbert's catalog. Now, this is the earliest known record of a change to this verse, the clause in question, that I am aware of at this time. I'm not saying there's not an earlier one. What I am saying is that 1611, 1629, 1638, they all read the same. This change is made later on. The earliest I can find of this change being made as of right now is in this 1677 London quarto, H736. Now notice, and Jonathan, Saul's son. Notice the comma is gone from after Jonathan. Saul's son, the comma is gone, had a son that was lame, watch, of his feet, period, he was 5 years old. So this is a change to the text. This was a comma. This is now a period, okay? Capital he was 5 years old. So if we go back to the 1611, notice the difference, okay? Lame of his feet, comma, and was five. So the word and is taken out of the text, and it is replaced with the word he when we get to this London quarto edition from 1677. Of his feet, period, not comma, okay? And is switched out for he was 5 years old. So this is a change to a reading. Now, it's not a substantive change. It's verbally equivalent. It doesn't change the doctrinal substance of what the verse is saying, but it is an editorial change. And it is an editorial change clearly coming from a time period after the King James translators were dead. Okay? And so later editors did impact the text. And this is a historical fact. And folks need to get on board with what is factually true, not with the things that they want to believe because it's been their tradition or whatever to believe those things. The facts of the case are that this verse went through an editorial change. Now, we can jump ahead a little further. Now we have the 1683 Cambridge Quarto, H780, and notice that it is following what was done here to the London one. These commas are gone. Okay, so, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet, period, he was 5 years old. Again, not the same reading as the 1611, not the same reading as 1629 or 1638. The verse has been edited. There's an editorial change that has occurred in this verse. It is very clear when you track the text through time. Here we have the 1762 Cambridge Folio edition. Now you can see that the commas are back in at Cambridge in 1762, but notice this part here, his feet, period, he was 5 years old. So again, the text changed. There was an editorial change to the text. This is not supposed to be the case according to what Reagan argued. And according to those who follow Reagan, this is not supposed to be the case because God gave the word exactly as he wanted it in English to the translators under inspiration between 1604 and 1611, yet editorial changes are being made later to the text. Okay, this is an objective fact. It cannot be obfuscated on. It cannot be denied. Any argumentation for the King James Bible has to conform itself to the facts, in my opinion, and I'll say it again. The cause of truth is not aided by factually inaccurate arguments. So then we can come to the Oxford Blaney text, and I forgot to note the Herbert catalog number here. But here we have the Oxford text, 2 Samuel 4:4. Let me just find it in my Bible here. Notice, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old. So I have in front of me my Oxford Bible, and I'm looking at 2 Samuel 4:4, and mine reads, "And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet, period. He was 5 years old." So the Bible that I read from, the Bible that I preach from on a Sunday morning, the Bible that any other King James advocate reads and preaches from, unless they're using a 1611, has an editorial change in it at 2 Samuel 4:4. So if this is not an editorial change, then somebody has to falsify the evidence presented in this video and replace it with their own case, because the evidence is clear. So any King James advocate that stands in a pulpit and preaches from a 1769 text, be it an Oxford, be it a Cambridge, is reading an edited text at 2 Samuel 4:4 that is not exactly the same as what the King James translators had in the 1611. And it made it through the 1629 and the 1638 without revision. It is revised later on. The evidence is objective and factual and clear. Okay, so were these true revisions in the sense of updating the language? Okay, readers of the AV today are reading an edited text that does not reflect the original translational decisions of the translators alone. Later editors impacted the text. This is a historical fact. This also strikes a blow to the idea that God gave the translators, quote, the exact words he wanted written in English between 1604 and 1611. Those who choose to follow Reagan and demand, quote, exact English words as given by inspiration of God are logically boxed into one of the following conclusions. This is a logical implication of the position, which is why it makes no sense to me for somebody to want to adopt this position. First possibility, the 1611, 1629, 1638 are not the perfect word in God of English because they lack the exact words in question. The 1677, 1683, 1762, 1769, all ones we've looked at in this video, and all subsequent editions are not the perfect word of God in English because they added words to what God inspired in 1611. This is the conundrum. This is real. And King James advocates need to deal with the facts on the ground as they actually are. Okay? Logically, those that insist on preservation of, quote, the exact words must answer which specific edition of the King James Bible contains the exact words God inspired in English to the exclusion of all others. They have to tell us if they're going to demand the exact words. And if they're going to say that God gave by inspiration the exact words in the exact order as he intended them in 1611, then all those people must go back to the 1611 and ditch their 1769s if they're going to logically follow things through to their conclusion. The problem is that folks don't seem to want to do that. Alternatively, they could adopt the position set forth in our book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality, How God Actually Preserved His Word, and avoid the factual conundrum altogether. There's a difference between a different way of saying the same thing and a substantive difference in meaning. All editions of the King James have verbal equivalents with each other, despite not possessing the exact same words. We believe the scriptures themselves teach that inspiration and preservation does not require verbatim identicality of wording. And again, for more on this, you're going to want to pick up a copy of the book, The Myth of Verbatim Identicality. You're going to want to check out the playlist here on YouTube, where we've covered these topics, and there's a lecture of me going through this information. And you can pick up a copy of the book here, and I'll leave a link in the description for doing so if you're interested in more information. Please investigate this issue for yourself, and don't rely on things that other people have said, and don't rely on what Reagan has said, because unfortunately Reagan did not actually look at these editions. He relied on Scrivener, as we have proved and demonstrated in an earlier video. So, all that being said, we appreciate your attention to this video. Check out the resources in the description. And as always, the most important decision that you can ever make in your entire life is to trust Jesus Christ for your eternal salvation. God loves you. Christ died for your sin. He sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to shed his blood, to satisfy the offended justice of God against sin, so that he could offer you and I eternal life as a free gift. Stop relying on your works, your effort, your church going, whatever it is that you're relying on of your own self, of your own effort to make you right before Almighty God, and trust and rely exclusively on what Jesus Christ has done for you, his death, burial, and resurrection. And once again, trust Jesus Christ today before it's everlasting too late. Thanks for your attention, and we'll see you next time.